Awesome Wrestling Entertainment podcast presented by Clovercrest Media is what you AEW fans have been looking for. Noah Cross and Tyler Bard give their take on every week's episode of Dynamite. If you are a massive AEW fan, then it is time to join us every Sunday at noon Eastern Standard Time. Stay Crossome.
Welcome to Ivy League Murders. On this podcast, we focus on cases affiliated with the Ivy League, exploring the darker side of higher education. What happens when genius becomes evil? My name is Sarah Alcorn. I'm a Harvard graduate, and I've been a private investigator since 1999. Join me and longtime crime diva, Laura McDonald, for Ivy League Murders.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Hard Hitting Wrestling Show, the HHW Show podcast presented by Clovercrest Media. Visit clovercrestmedia.com to know more about several podcasts that's being published every single day. Today, we're going to be talking about SmackDown, Raw, and NXT, to the superstars like Apollo Crews' new gimmick, to where should Cesaro be in his career. And we'll jump over to Bobby Lashley as the new WWE champion on Raw. And of course, we have the upcoming title match, the Women's Tag Team Championship. That's also on the rise. And NXT Adam Cole. What's going on with him and what's going to happen for his future? Along with another title that's going to be happening next week with our quick prediction on Io Shirai and Toni Storm. And of course, our show, the HHW Show, is the takeaway, which the key term will be influence. That's right. Our word for this episode is influence. But hey, let me not get ahead of myself real quick because I got my boys Frank and Hector on here. Welcome, guys. Hey, on SmackDown, we're starting off with Apollo Crews. And Apollo Crews, well, he's claiming that he has not been receiving the same respect that he should be with compared to the other superstars in the locker room. Crews claimed that he is from Nigeria, or I said his ancestors are from Nigeria, and that he is truly a real African-American. Now, key note there. He is truly the real African-American. Sounds suspect already. But, hey, that's all right. He continues to say that his ancestors are pure Nigerian royalty, that back in the days when his great-grandfather was the ruler in Nigeria, that people pretty much, to summarize it, that they gain respect because of power, okay? He's wearing a colorful scarf, which is white with, I want to say, turquoise, greenish-type color. And he says that the colors represent wealth, dominance, and power. And as you know, his last role that he did, he ended up throwing the or dropping the steel chair on top of Big E that forced Big E to, I guess he's going to be missing some weeks. So I'm going to ask you guys there, hey, does this legitimately give Apollo Crews the front of line of the Intercontinental Championship, and where does he go from here? Hector, I'll start with you on this one.
Unfortunately, it does put him in the front of the line. I don't know if it was a gimmick. I don't think it was the gimmick. I mean, I'm a real American. I don't think I need to prove that, though.
I mean, are you a real American?
I mean,
really?
You know, it's just, you know, he's really just, I think he's clowning himself more than anything, you know, with this whole new gimmick of his. I hope for his sake it takes him somewhere, because getting himself to the Intercontinental title is not going to get him. That's not going to get him anywhere anytime soon, you know.
I'm so confused that you're saying you're a real American, though.
Yeah, I mean, just like he's Nigerian. Well, I guess
he's a true African American. So what about Big E? What about the New Day? What about the Hurt Business?
I think Big E is naturally just big, yeah. And the Hurt Business is naturally hurting people. I don't know. But if we're going to keep it real, we're going to keep it real.
When he said that he's a real African American, I'm like, all right. I didn't know how real can you get, but all right, that's cool.
You fooled me.
Yeah. So anyways, look, I love his attitude. I think he's getting educated, and we saw this development happen when he was talking to Paul Heyman. Then we saw a quick glimpse on him talking to Roman Reigns, right? So I think the advice that he's been receiving, I think he's doing a little bit overboard. Don't you think, Frank?
Dude, he's going way overboard. I think the advice, you know, it's good to get advice from different individuals, you know, but when you go over that limit of your passing priority, the advice that they're giving you, and you're taking it to another step, you start to look ridiculous.
Ridiculous indeed. I mean, how many have we met in person, you know, dealing with people who say, dude, this is not the way you do it. Maybe you should go this route. And then they try to go that route, and you'd be like, dude, that's not what I meant. Like, you took it out of proportion there.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we all know someone with that type of character. But as far as Apollo Crew goes, I think he's going to be a fraction of what's going to happen in the future for WrestleMania when Big E actually defends the Intercontinental Championship. So, but hey, news to hear, Isaiah Groves, his gimmick is just as bad as the head of the table. Wow, man. I mean, listen.
Wow.
How many times, and I'm glad that he mentioned that, how many times have we seen a bad gimmick turn into something awesome?
Mm-hmm.
All right. We just got to wait to see how far this storyline is going to build up. We said the same thing about Bobby Lashley, in which we will get to him or later on the show. So I'm glad that he brought that up. But our next one is Cesaro. Cesaro, the question is, should Cesaro join Seth Rollins? Okay. Seth Rollins, who's pretty much done everything. And out of respect, yes, he has done pretty much everything. He's held all the titles at some time, and he's a Grand Slam champion. He's coming back. He sees a new vision. He wants to embrace the vision and help everybody. I do believe in Seth Rollins on this one. He's not about himself. Now he's trying to be there for everybody. But again, handling things the wrong way. But in fact, we always talked about Cesaro. He should be up here, right? Can Seth Rollins take Cesaro to another level?
I don't know. I mean, he might take him to another level. I mean, when you look at Cesaro, he's been more of a mid-card guy majority of the time. I mean, he's a hell of a wrestler, and I think he hasn't gotten the, not respect, but his time due. And can Seth Rollins help him? Maybe. I mean, heck, he put Murphy kind of, you know, he took Murphy at one point under his wing, and Murphy elevated where he started dating Mysterio's daughter.
Yeah, but where's Murphy now, though? We haven't even seen Murphy. Since after Survivor Series, we haven't seen Murphy.
Right, but at the time, he brought him up. So could it be that maybe, you know, he comes up? Who knows? Ovi, I think you're muted. Yeah, you see, yeah, you talk.
I get that all the time. You know,
your lips are moving.
But he says, with all due respect, Seth has handed two of the championships, one literally due to Balor's injury, I guess. Don't know about all that. I know for the Universal title, Finn Balor won, but eventually he had to relinquish the title. Hey, come at me more, man, about that topic. But
I think he might be talking about the first time where he won the title, where Triple H helped him out.
Oh,
yes. I think that's what he's trying to mention there also. Which, in that aspect, I will agree with Isaiah that he was, you know, he wasn't handed the title completely, but he was really helped in getting the title.
Well, he also had earned the title, especially when Seth Rollins did defeat Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. You know, Brock Lesnar did attack him before the match started, but eventually found his way back in there and handled his business. So, yeah, I understand that there were times that it was given to him, but there are other times where he actually did earn the right to be called champion. I believe that Seth Rollins can elevate Cesaro, not with teaming up with him, but if they were to have that match and Cesaro does win and defeat Seth Rollins, then I could see that there's going to be a title opportunity for him. I believe that he had that shot at the Elimination Chamber, maybe end up the same way as Daniel Bryan, but I think out of protecting him, of Cesaro, I think it's best for him to be with Seth Rollins, have that match, get that over with, see how far that goes, and then we may end up seeing him in a title picture very soon. But you also got to understand, Cesaro is a former United States champion. You know, he was also involved in helping Sami Zayn win the Intercontinental Championship. So, again, where does that leave Cesaro? If it's not for the Universal title, could it be for the Intercontinental Championship?
Yeah, I think the Intercontinental title will definitely, well, yeah, it would be more suitable right now to get that title. I mean, he's elevated himself as a singles competitor. I mean, we know what he can do on the tag team level. And I think we're just seeing a whole different side of Cesaro that maybe being with Seth Rollins right now, not being with him, but being with him in the ring will help him elevate him to that next level. You know, as we've seen with people like Kofi Kingston and Bobby Lashley, as we'll get into later, you know, he has that potential to be a main eventer, you know, the main card. He has that potential. I mean, you cannot tell me that there's not nobody who did like him as a heel or a face.
Oh, know? No, I loved it.
He keeps the same gimmicks. You know, we know him as either the Swiss Cyborg or the Swiss Superman. And he's probably athletically the strongest man in the WWE.
Right. I mean, look, he's won the Andre the Giant Battle Royal in 2014. How bigger than that? And especially there was somebody else that I think should also be in the title run, and that is King Corbin. Now, before he became King, I think he had a lot of potential to be a heel champion, you know, and a good one. But for some reason, this like that title picture is not there for him. So I don't know. But speaking about Corbin, Sami Zayn wants to partner up with Corbin. He's trying his hardest. Got the video cameras going with King Corbin and everything else. And Corbin's not having all that glamorous stuff with being on the spotlight. But the one thing that Sami Zayn said that was correct was if he's going to be a tag team champion, he could do it with King Corbin. And I do believe that. I think Corbin is that type of guy that could lead anybody to win a title if given that opportunity. But let me ask you this. Can they both succeed together as being the tag teams? Despite them losing to the Street Profits, they can still bounce back. What do you think?
Yeah, if you get rid of the documentary crew, it might be. That's the interference right there. We know that. And King Corbin is just – he's not having it. You know, he's always been a loner. He's the lone wolf here. And, you know, if he's going to agree to be with Sammy, there has to be conditions.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
We're okay. We just got to get rid of some things in order for other things to be successful. But other than that, if not, then Sami Zayn is going to be part of the end of days.
I don't know. I think in that case, though, they both have very big egos. So maybe their egos might get the best of them. I mean, could it work for a little while? Possibly.
But you got to look at this, that Corbin does not tolerate nonsense. And you got a guy that talks so much trash and sometimes is idiotic that, you know, again, do we know someone that likes to talk, and be like, dude, what are you talking about? Just shut your mouth already. Get out of here. You know what I mean? Just do your job.
All the time.
I mean, Frank, I tell you all the time, mira, chata. That's it. No mas. That's it. You got no comeback?
And, you know, honestly, I think, you know.
I choose not to engage.
You don't want to get cameraed off.
It won't matter. I mean, look. It's not a show unless Frank gets cameraed off.
No, man, you're good, man. You're good.
I'm waving bye because it's going to happen soon enough.
Yeah, you're good. You don't have that shot. You don't have that automatic. Oh, don't you start with that automatic weapon.
Uh-oh.
There we go.
You know, but I think, you know, in the singles competition, Corbin has been hot lately. You know, getting done with the Mysterio feud, you know, finishing that off on a strong note and now going on to bigger and better things. If he just stays as a singles competitor, I believe that there could be bigger and bigger things for him because the King gimmick eventually has to go away.
Right. You're absolutely right. It has to go away. I think now is the opportunity to get that crown out of your head. What kingdom, what throne do you have right now?
Yeah.
He had two guys with him, and eventually they're gone. You know what I mean? I don't know if his furlough got involved or whatever it is, but they're gone. So he's on his own. They're trying to put, again, I think this is the beginning of a storyline to maybe a relationship between Sami Zayn and King Corbin. We don't know. We don't know how far this could go. But this is what I do know. I think that King Corbin is well-deserved to be in the title shot. But we only have so much titles to give out in the WWE. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So where do we draw the line and say, hey, you know what? This is your top heel. Why are we using him as a jobber? You know what I mean? And King Corbin should not be in that position. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But speaking about being in position, it's the Street Profits. They've been trying to get that claim to get back on top to be tag team champions. But there's something that the Street Profits said behind the scenes that I kind of disagree. So the Street Profits went on in an interview saying that they deserve a rematch. Okay. Well, when the founding fathers of the current WWE right now, with Shane, Triple H, Stephanie McMahon, and Vince McMahon, got him in the ring, they guaranteed that there is no such thing as an automatic rematch for the tag team titles. So, Street Profits, your bad and your fault. You should have never lost. All right? But I kind of respect the general manager's position, right? That, hey, man, you lost. Start from the bottom. Work your way back to the top. But it's real easy to get back in the top because who else is in the tag team division?
Yep.
There's nobody there.
It's like we got a whole big list going on.
They beat Sami Zayn and Corbin. Then who else is left? Otis. And Chad Gable. That's it. Is there any other tag teams?
They could put Mysterios if anything. But lately they've been losing.
Yeah, but exactly. Mysterios have done nothing.
I think the Mysterios going to happen is that father and son relationship is going to get a divorce, and they're going to Dominic Mysterio is going to turn on his dad. That's exactly what's going to happen.
He wants to get emancipated.
I mean, look, you're going to do so much. How much advice? I mean, and that's another thing, you know, and I love to compare the reality of today's life. So when we say about, man, picture yourself when you was a teenager, how many times did your parents give you advice? Your dad or someone, you'd be like, yeah, I know. But you wander off and doing something until you get in trouble. And he said, dude, didn't I not tell you?
How'd that go again?
What?
I know.
I try to give Hector advice all the time, man. But, you know, Father Time always defeats me because I know he's older than me and everything. So
There's only so much that Ray can tell Dominic before Dominic really got to learn on his own. But I mean, yeah, Dominic's going to get to the point where, hey, look, you said your piece. I got to go out there and do my thing. Leave me alone. Let me handle it. I mean, he's lost like a man plenty of times, but he's won like a man. He's got to cut the umbilical cord with his son and let him just go out there. It's not like he's leaving him, you know, to the wolves. He's there to help him if he needs to. But if he wants to be a WWE superstar, he's going to have to find out the hard way.
Ain't that how we find out the hard way when we learn how to swim? They just throw you in the water and say, hey, float.
Yep.
Uh-oh. Right. I know where you're going with this.
I didn't say nothing.
You don't have to say anything. Subliminal messages.
Hey, so the fans should know, the listeners should know that you're from Cuba.
Mm-hmm. Well, my family, I was born here. You go ahead, go, but be careful.
But you was on the swim team, right? Why are you quiet?
You know,
Zach goes, I'm a real African American. I don't swim.
That's a good one.
Hey. Oh my goodness. You know, but that's a whole other topic. That's a whole other show, because if we start saying too many things, there might be some generations that might get offended. So we got to be careful here.
Hey,
all right.
We could just go to your show on Speaking It Real every Friday, and we could just talk about it, right?
Exactly. Every Friday at 9 o'clock. You know what? We could go ahead and talk about it. We might offend some people, but at the end of the day, we're going to speak it real.
Or I'll piss you off shortly. There's another one, and you guys could catch it live on clovercrestmedia.com. But I'll tell you what's real is that Bobby Lashley, it became the new WWE champion. And everyone was anticipating this. Everybody was participating. This is a no-brainer, like Frank usually says. This is a no-brainer. It was expected. I mean, how long can you have The Miz hold that WWE title? You know, and the chain of events that happened on Monday Night Raw for him to delay the process, there was just no way of getting out of it. And I kind of like the way Shane McMahon actually stepped up. But there's one thing that I disagreed, and that's going to add more fuel to somebody else. The decision factor was, if The Miz did not show up, right, that they were going to strip the belt away from The Miz and award that title to Bobby Lashley. Now, do you think that, thankfully that did not happen, but what kind of decision is that? How can you be a champion and not win the title?
Oscar didn't win the title. They gave it to him.
Oscar did win.
Not
because the decision was made beforehand that whoever won Money in the Bank briefcase, and that was secretly involved. All right? That was kept on a hush. I agree with that, because the fact that, listen, she won Money in the Bank. Was the purpose of Money in the Bank to get your shot at the title? And before that match happened, listen, before the match happened, right? You ready for this? That belt was already in the briefcase. Who had the combination?
Lynch.
When she opened up the briefcase, what was in it? Was it around Becky Lynch's waist? Absolutely not. If Shayna Baszler would have won that briefcase, she would have been the champion. You know what I mean? But luckily enough, in the men's side of the house, that did not happen, right? Bobby Lashley defeated The Miz to become the WWE champion. So, again, I love the way The Miz was trying his best to delay, because he wanted to main event WrestleMania. But, of course, we've had that discussion last week to the fact that he is not a main eventer, right? Nope. But who is next to go against Bobby Lashley? Is it automatically Drew McIntyre, or is it another superstar?
I want to see somebody else, but we're not going to see that somebody else. I mean, as long as Drew McIntyre is there on Raw, it's going to be argued that he's going to be the face to go after that title. I mean, I would like to see Sheamus go after it. Sheamus has proven himself. He's been a former champion before. But then
yeah, he already lost to Drew McIntyre, yeah, so how could he be in that position?
I know, but you ain't going to put AJ in there. He hasn't done nothing to deserve that title shot.
Yeah, AJ's somewhere off right now.
So
that's funny because you got a former WWE champion who was the face that ran the place in SmackDown who is not running anything in Raw.
Yeah.
Except homage.
I'm just saying. But the other person that would be pissed off that's not going to be in that picture is Braun Strowman. And I'm telling you though, right there, that Braun Strowman and Shane McMahon is going to be the match for WrestleMania.
That would be awesome.
But do we really want that to happen, though? You know, why does Shane McMahon got to be back in the picture?
He's like he's got something to prove, which he don't.
I mean, because he didn't do it last year to jump off the sign of the pirate ship or whatever it is, and Kevin Owens stole that from him? I don't know. Like, we don't need to see him jumping off a steel cage or take a flight or whatever it is. I think we know. It's like a WrestleMania gimmick over and over again. We got it already. You know, what else is there to prove? And yep. Then the tag team title match that Braun Strowman was in and Adam Pearce messed it all up. And like I said, I don't get it, man. I don't get it. I mean, technically, Braun Strowman didn't even have to tag anybody. So, and for that particular move right there, be prepared for the Raw tag team titles to be taken away from the Hurt Business. Because once you lose that one match, I'm telling you lose that one match, that's just telling you that it's definitely going to be taken away from somebody. Who it is, I have no idea. But then again, there's no real action going on in the men's tag team division.
Yeah, that's why I think they're going to hold those titles. I won't be surprised if they go after the United States title again and try to get that gold into the Hurt Business.
But why?
Just so they can have all
the – So Mustafa Ali, here we go. Defeated Riddle just to prove himself that he's a leader to the Retribution. Now, listen. Imagine you two. I'm your leader, and I'm telling you, I'm dogging you out, cussing you out why you keep losing, but yet I go there in the ring, but y'all still helping me out to try to win a match. What kind of leader am I?
You're not.
Exactly.
I won't help you out. I just watch you lose.
I would have made you lose.
Yeah. I might help out Riddle. I mean, you want to keep dogging me out. I mean,
you know. Eventually, there's so much abuse that you can handle to where they're going to make that decision, stand up for themselves and, you know, flip the bird and walk away. The same way they did to Seth Rollins on SmackDown. Why can't they just not walk away and be like, yo, the hell with you? I mean, each and one of them Retribution could just hurt Mustafa Ali.
You know, and it's crazy you say that because, you know, everybody should know there's a difference between being a boss and a leader. And Mustafa Ali is acting more like a boss. Okay, he's leading from behind instead of in front. He's not leading by example. He's one of those people that's do as I say, not as I do. You're not doing anything to prove that you are a leader. Are you going in there and winning these matches and then showing your people, okay, this is how you're supposed to do it? No. You're throwing your guys in there. They're getting beat. You're not teaching them or giving that as a teaching lesson to help them improve themselves so they can win next week. All you're doing is just dogging them out. There's no encouragement there.
There's no resume for Mustafa Ali anyway for any type of accomplishment he has done in the WWE. Yeah. That's, you know, so he got hurt and he misses the opportunity to maybe get a chance to win the WWE championship. But it never happened.
Yeah.
He had plenty of opportunities for an Intercontinental Championship, but Shinsuke Nakamura just put him down. You know? So again, what does that justify Mustafa Ali as a leader of Retribution? He had a great point. He had a good vision. They started to destroy everything of WWE to where they went from the top and they worked themselves to the bottom. They just not heard. No one's hearing him, you know. So I think it's going to be more of a disappointment when Riddle retains the United States Championship, because that's what it's geared for. I believe in WWE Fastlane, the next pay-per-view before WrestleMania, that we'll see Mustafa Ali versus Riddle for the U.S. title, and Riddle will retain as the United States Champion.
Yeah.
But speaking about championship, let's do away from championship real quick and focus on my man, Randy Orton. So Randy Orton, to me, at first at the beginning, I was thinking, oh, wow, Randy Orton is going to be transforming into some type of creature, right? We saw him when he was bleeding that black stuff and everything else. And what character did we compare him to?
Venom.
Venom, right? And then we ended up seeing something crazy on Monday Night Raw. We saw a mirror image of Randy Orton.
His doppelganger.
So Randy Orton has been tormented by Alexa Bliss. Orton saw himself through a television set during an interview, and it's the dark side of Orton. This does not... here's a quote from the dark side of Randy Orton. You ready? This does not end in your terms. Soon, you will come to face with everything that you have ever done. Now, does that remind you of anything? Of someone, of another match, or a WrestleMania moment?
Mm-hmm.
John Cena and The Fiend.
Exactly. So, Hector, you spoke to me this before. Reiterate again your prediction. What could happen with Randy Orton?
To me, the light is being shined here. We've seen Randy Orton over his career just decimate legends, you know, becoming the legend killer. But now it seems to me that the role is being reversed and they're using himself against him. Okay, we've heard that saying, you know, you are your own worst enemy. Okay. And there is a quote that says, your worst enemy cannot harm you as much as your own unguarded thoughts. And Randy Orton has so much psychotic thoughts in his mind. And who else to put Randy down but Randy Orton? Nobody can seem to do it, but it's going to be himself. You know, sometimes you yourself can be your own worst enemy. And I think that's how The Fiend is what he's doing to get to Randy Orton. Fiend figured out he can't do it. But if he turns Randy Orton against himself, I've never thought of anything like that before.
So what you're saying is that we could see another cinematic type movie for WrestleMania to see the end of Randy Orton. So you think Randy Orton will retire after this?
I believe so. I mean, what more does he have to prove? You know, he's a multi-champion. He's a Grand Slam champion. He's defeated nearly everybody he's gotten in the ring with. Okay, I mean, he has nothing to prove. He cemented himself into the WWE Hall of Fame. We already know that.
Absolutely. He's along with... Look, if Batista's already the Hall of Famer... Yes. You know, in his class, you had Randy Orton, you had John Cena.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
we're not going to see another Undertaker. We're not going to see another Apex Predator, another Viper. Okay. I mean, what he did Monday was he looked in the mirror and he saw that he is his own competition.
I got you. You got me sold already, man. Like, so that's freaky stuff. Like, how about you looking in the mirror and then that mirror, that person's actually talking to you and you'd be like,
yeah,
that's crazy.
So I guess that means he's going to be taking himself out. The legend killer taking out.
He is a legend.
Yeah, he is a legend. And if nobody could take him out, why not the own legend killer? And so The Fiend using the legend killer to take out Randy Orton. And it will still and it will go down in the Hall of Fame that the legend killer has taken out every legend, even himself.
Who else beat themselves?
Exactly.
We always use that terminology all the time. Dude, you just beat yourself, man.
Yeah.
That's it.
You are your competition.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, he is a four-time heavyweight championship. He is a world tag team champion with Edge. Okay. Then when the belts changed to the WWE Heavyweight Championship, like, again, he is a four-time world champion. I mean, it's awesome. You know, he succeeded. He's tied with Triple H, right? He was a Intercontinental Champion. He's won the United States Championship. He's won the Royal Rumble 2 times, okay? Grand Slam champion, as you said it. And then, look, even the Wrestling Observer Newsletter had him as the most improved in 2004. I don't understand what was the most overrated superstar back in 2013, but I mean, a guy that's been an RKO out of nowhere, hashtag RKO out of nowhere, that's been famous all over social media.
Did he not the Money in the Bank? Did he not? He never won. I thought he did.
He won the Money in the Bank in 2013.
You know, mm-hmm. And you have to give him credit because his finishing move is probably in the top five, if not the top three, of the most dangerous finishing moves of all times because he knew how to catch you out of nowhere.
What other moves could beat the RKO?
The only one that I think that can come close was the super kick by Shawn Michaels because he could catch you out of nowhere.
That's true.
You know, that's why I say.
Yeah, but I mean, that's just the kick, though. I mean, that is, there's nothing hard to kicking somebody.
You're absolutely right, yeah. Because RKO, he could catch you from the top rope. Off the rope.
He's done that before. Yeah,
exactly.
I remember the one move he did to Seth Rollins, even Kofi Kingston.
Yes.
Where he could have won the title, but decided to flirt it off.
Mm-hmm.
But he caught him in the air. And look, every time he RKO's somebody, it brings everybody off their seats.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw it live on in Hartford XL Center when he pretended to be in crutches against AJ Styles.
And he doesn't discriminate. He'll RKO his family. He'll RKO women. He doesn't discriminate. He RKO the boss. He don't care.
He RKOs anybody that gets in his way. It doesn't matter with him.
And who's to say he RKO himself or the Fiend makes him RKO himself?
That'd be pretty interesting.
That'd be interesting to see, right?
That would be.
Please don't. I don't want to be a witness, Frank. I don't want to be a witness.
I'm just going to be like, oh, Frank.
Oh, God. Die Frank
911. Is. 911. Frank just RKO'd himself.
But what was in that Jack in the Box that she was cranking up? Because it never opened as she was cranking it.
The Fiend.
You noticed that?
The Fiend will pop out. I think so.
Because she kept on saying, let him out. Let him out.
That's going to be interesting to see the Fiend pop out of there. I think maybe it might happen in the ring with a real big Jack in the Box. He goes, hey, poof!
Well, I tell you what's going to be interesting is after Fastlane for these matches to fall in place and we see the bigger picture for WrestleMania 37, that'd be awesome. But another awesomeness is the new podcast called OV's Backstop Podcast, which started last Sunday. Awesome show. Talks about the Boston Red Sox and pretty much the rest of the league of Major League Baseball. So check it out.
Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champions.
Can you believe it?
It hasn't happened at Fenway Park for 95 years.
Fires. Swing and a miss. Strike three. It's over. The Red Sox have won the world championship.
Tune in to the newest show presented by Clovercrest Media. It's OV's Backstop Podcast. Catch it twice a week, every Red Sox series finale on your favorite podcast platform.
So it's now time for NXT with Frank and I as we discussed a one championship here. We have
Frank,
Dakota Kai, Raquel Gonzalez. Yes, well, Frank is not in the NXT picture.
Yeah, you said me and Frank.
Oh, did I say me and Frank?
Yeah, I was like, Frank.
Oh, man. I see Frank laughing over there in the backstage right now. He's flipping the bird and everything else, he clown. My bad.
And I get categorized as Frank.
It's not the first time I got your names messed up anyway, so.
I'm the better looking one. I mean, hello.
Anyways, Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez battle Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler on Wednesday, NXT, for the Women's Tag Team Championship. Now, who wins and why? I'd like to hear from you first.
You know, I really truly believe that Gonzalez and Kai is going to win this match. I mean, I think it's just time for these two just to separate themselves.
Right.
Go their single ways. Maybe even start feuding with each other. I think that'd be a great to see who's the better one between these two. You know, and put the NXT championship tag, the WWE tag team titles on NXT. Let all those women battle it out over there. Okay. We got more singles in the main roster than we do tag teams. We don't need that there. We got more of a tag team on the NXT side. Let these women down there battle for that title. Because we know that the Raw and SmackDown, they can go down. We already know that Naomi and Lana are looking for those titles. I get it. But let them go down to NXT and chase those titles. Why not? I think that will draw a bigger crowd if they go down there and chase it. Because I don't think they can take down Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. I really don't.
No, I believe you. But the thing is like these other storylines are developing because you mentioned them. But then on SmackDown, you have Natalya and Tamina, who's also won a crack at a tag team titles. And Natalya's pissed off that she's not in the picture, and she's been there the longest, you know. But listen, I believe that Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez can't get it done. I believe it. I've been saying it from the beginning. You won the Dusty Cup Classic. You deserve a title shot, and I think they deserve the win. They really do. And why not bring them up? Now, listen, if that happens, let's just say that they do win, and they shock the whole world, okay? One, of course, more viewers are going to be watching NXT, right? But for Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler, that gives them an opportunity to go back to singles competition and chase for the Raw Women's Championship.
Yes.
Asuka has not had a valid opponent. And with WWE Fastlane coming up, that'd be a bigger storyline to drive and put more competition in there.
Yeah.
Then you also have Charlotte Flair, who did a promo, who's seeking an opportunity for the Raw Women's Championship, but she hasn't done much yet, just been a tag team champion, right?
Yeah.
In support of Asuka. However, we still got Rhea Ripley that's going to be in the picture. Okay? We're still missing that dream match from years ago in the Elimination Chamber when Asuka and Shayna Baszler were going one-on-one. So,
why not make it a Fatal 4 at WrestleMania?
It could be.
You know, and then the winner, then you got Rhea Ripley going after the winner after WrestleMania.
Now, I won't say after WrestleMania. Remember, Rhea Ripley did not get an opportunity for an actual WrestleMania moment. She lost the NXT title to Charlotte last year.
Yeah.
So for her to be back in the picture, what better than have her face her defeat against Charlotte Flair and maybe succeed and defeat her on her way to challenge Asuka for the Raw Women's Championship?
Yeah, that's if Asuka could hold that title that long. You know, if she's coming off an injury, that could just re-flare back up. I would like to see Shayna Baszler as champion. She was a good NXT Women's Champion.
Right. But her gimmick has just fallen apart compared to what she was. She was beast mode in NXT. She goes Raw, then after losing to Becky Lynch, she just fell off.
Yeah, she's starting to look like the Joker than she does Queen of Spades. Yeah, I get it. It's been watered down a little bit, but
yeah. Who's worse than the Joker? Because I can't even see her as the Joker. I think the joke's on her.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but let's say if Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler retain as a women's champion, what happens next for Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez?
I would like to see Gonzalez just break off by herself because she is so good. She is so good, you know, on a single side. She don't need Dakota Kai with her. You know, to me, that's just a tag along. Just cut it, you know, and just because we see what she could do when she beat Rhea Ripley. She just dominated that match.
Absolutely. That's why I believe that she's going to dominate this tag team matchup. Yeah. And don't, no respect. Dakota Kai is awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I think she's elevated. Yeah. Being with her, she's elevated herself. And yeah. I think they both are now turning into a baby face.
I think so, too. I really, and I love it because, I mean, I'm a big Gonzalez fan, so.
I'm still sticking to my guns. I still believe that Raquel Gonzalez should be the NXT Women's Champion. I feel like down the road, it'll be her and Io Shirai for the NXT title championship on the next NXT TakeOver. I'm hoping that will happen. But again, another match that's scheduled for the following week is Io Shirai versus Toni Storm. That's going to be a tremendous matchup. Toni Storm, she made a scene during Io Shirai's picture day. You know, she's taking pictures for the media and everything else. And Toni Storm assaulted her there. And that's what formed for this matchup that's going to take place next week. I still feel as though Io Shirai is not going to give up that title anytime soon.
No, if anything, I think Gonzalez could be the one to take it off of her. And that'll be just a lot of mutual respect between the two. Just giving Gonzalez the reign to be the next one. And because Io Shirai, since she's won that title at the In Your House pay-per-view, she's just dominated the women's division on NXT. She's taken on all comers and took and beaten everybody. So, yeah, she that would be a good match between those two.
Absolutely. Hey, one other topic, and we're going to do the takeaway now. And we started the show stating about influence. Key word is influence. Now, the Royal Rumble winners were Edge and Bianca Belair. Now, these two superstars, well-deserved. They handled their business and everything else. However, now that that happened, did they really choose their opponents or was it forced upon them? I'll start with you, Hector.
I am going to stick to my guns, and I'm not going to allow nobody to change my mind that I believe it was their opponents that chose them. I felt that even though you do have the opportunity to make your decision on who you want to face, I felt that Belair and Edge were both indecisive. And when you're indecisive, that opens the door for your opponent to make the decisions for you. Okay, because we have to understand that many people become indecisive because they've gotten used to other people making decisions for them. Okay, and since they both won the Royal Rumble, ever since that day, both champions on SmackDown, okay, has been pursuing them, telling them, you need me, okay, to main event WrestleMania and stuff like that. So it's like that to me just kind of kept on getting into their head. To me, it's almost like, that Belair and Edge did not learn how to make their own decisions. And they allowed Reigns and the boss, Sasha Banks, to make the decision for them. I, as a wrestling fan, never seen that since the Royal Rumble has been around, since the winners of the Royal Rumble.
Since they made that stipulation of the automatic main event WrestleMania.
Yeah, I've never seen it. So to me, I felt like they were pressured instead of, you know what? You know, you just need to back off. I'll make my decision. So that's how I feel about it.
What do you feel about that, Frank? What do you wonder about it?
I don't think I'm not going to say they were pressured, but they were more enticed into making that decision. And in the sense, because you saw Roman Reigns go after him, go after Edge. And then you saw Banks also just keep on, you know, talking to Belair about it. They placed the seed. They watered the seed. And guess what? They bit. You know, they grew. And they're going after them. They were enticed for them. You know, so I... Go.
No, I don't think there was any chemistry. I mean, before that, once they won, I made a decision to where it was going to be Roman Reigns and Sasha Banks. For one, there's no history with Asuka and Bianca Belair, right? But then, you know, Bianca Belair is on SmackDown, so it made sense for her to go after Sasha Banks. Now, the way that they try to develop the story, I'm not a big fan of. I think that a little bit was botched during that tag team championship. I still feel like Sasha Banks should have turned her back on her and make it more real. You know what I mean? And then that goes back to what Hector was saying. You know, they're choosing their opponent instead of the other way around. And as far as the Edge is concerned, Edge is all about, hey, family, you know, I did this, I did that, but now I'm trying to reach my goal. I want to go back to where I left off, you know. And you got Roman Reigns as the head of the table who's trying to help people put food on the table to everybody else, so he claims. It just it made the storyline even better. And on top of that, they both have the same signature move. So whether you call it a battle of the spears, you call it a battle for family, or whatever the case may be, it is better than seeing Edge and Roman Reigns, which Roman Reigns is the top dog of WWE, going against a Hall of Famer, than seeing Drew or Bobby Lashley or something like that, because they're not there yet. They're not Hall of Famers yet. You see what I'm saying? They're not. They haven't had that career as the same as one Roman Reigns is fast tracking, but Edge is already, he's been there and done that already. From the Attitude Era all the way down to even now, you know. But let me ask you this now. The ending. WWE for the last couple of WrestleManias, I think since Daniel Bryan won with the Yes Movement, should the WWE have the finishing of WrestleMania be a Hollywood story?
No. I think it needs to be an old-fashioned match.
And watch this. Last year we saw Drew McIntyre win. It was expected. It was also expected for Roman Reigns to win, but he didn't because he didn't show up, right, due to COVID concerns. And we had Braun Strowman winning the title. So automatically, does that mean that WrestleMania is going to be an event where titles change automatically? Or when are we going to be serious about this and be like, look, you may have invented, but you came too short? Which superstar will be the superstar to be short for a championship run?
I want to say Edge.
What do you say?
I mean, he's had his time already. He has that proof. He can go after WrestleMania without a title and still, you know, main event because of who he is. Unlike Belair. I think Belair needs to win that title a little bit more than what Edge needs it.
We saw the chronicle of Bianca Belair, and look, she defeated Bayley. Bayley's probably one of the top, is the top woman in the WWE. No question, right?
Yep.
She beats her. Well, actually, she eliminated her, right, from the Royal Rumble. I'm still waiting for them to have an actual match again. And what else? Sasha Banks. Mm-hmm. It's Bianca's time. She is EST. She is the best out of the rest. I love that. I should make a rap song about it. But anyways, you're absolutely right. But I do see maybe Drew McIntyre not win at WrestleMania. Should he face Bobby Lashley? I think we're getting the better Bobby Lashley. We're getting the better of these other super, Roman Reigns, head of the table. We don't need him to lose the title. Let him be champion. What's wrong with that? I don't know what I'm saying. What's wrong with that? You already main evented. You did what you had to do. Not every time that you do something to get yourself in a situation are you going to get the prize. It's just life.
Well, so then does that mean that Drew McIntyre will be known as the pandemic champion?
Well, like you don't have to say pandemic champion. I think his storyline is real. I mean, he was on a run. Remember, he won the Royal Rumble. The fans, over 40,000 people there in Houston, was rooting for Drew McIntyre. Mm-hmm. They applauded when he eliminated Brock Lesnar. It was deemed for that type of match. You know, right
there was what changed him over to the being a face. I mean, everybody knew it was coming. Okay. Leading up to that.
So why not give him the victory he deserves in front of fans?
It is what it is. That's how the cards played out, though. If you look at it, look at Bobby Lashley. Let's look at how he progressed. He came back chasing he was the Intercontinental Champion. Been there and done that, right? Mm-hmm. He's a United States Champion. Been there and done that. Then he had that episode with Lana. That was a little downfall for him. But how many of us been down when we have a love story and this and that, how it affects your job and everything else, right? Then all of a sudden he got MVP in his corner. Like, dude, you want to be a champion? I will guide you. And so far, he's done it with success. And if anything, I think now I trust MVP. But that's another story there. But look how he get. Look how Bobby Lashley changed his attitude to be the CEO of the Hurt Business to him snapping because he lost the Battle Royal or got eliminated at the Royal Rumble, and to do what he did to Riddle and Keith Lee. Dude, he found himself. He found himself as a ruthless champion. And I don't think that Drew McIntyre can handle that. I'm just saying.
He had it in him all these years, and it took MVP to release it. You know, he had to help him release what was built up all those years. I don't know if you've seen the picture, but Bobby Lashley ripped a picture of himself when he first started to let us know, to indicate, this is not me anymore. What you're looking at is the real deal now. And you got to give it to MVP. In less than a year, MVP has had all the titles in the Hurt Business. He had all the titles already.
Pretty much.
The United States, the heavyweight title, and the tag team titles. But no.
What more can you ask for?
Right?
There it is. And then sadly, of course, he won it against The Miz. But now he's there to prove that he is a better champion. And he's not backing away from anybody. Yeah, and Riddle is it's a superstar. He's good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But now, yes, we saw Bobby Lashley versus Drew McIntyre. We saw that already, and I got it. But that wasn't the same Bobby Lashley we have right now. And yep. I'm saying this should not be a happy ever ending for a babyface in this WrestleMania, except for one person, and that should be Bianca Belair.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. But you think about what the Hurt Business has done since their inception. They went to the underground. They just dominated. They stood the front grounds against Retribution when everybody else backed down. They stood there and took the beatings, but found a way of beating them down. Okay, Bobby Lashley is just so dangerous. Just imagine the superstars he faced in the past. If he was to face them now, he would destroy them even more. The Omagas, the John Cenas, I mean, for the Big Show. he beat them then. He would destroy them worse now. I like this Bobby Lashley. This is the King Kong of the WWE. And I don't even think that Roman Reigns at this point, who is the face of the WWE, wants to be in the ring with Bobby Lashley. I would love to see that match, especially at Survivor Series or something like that, because Clash of Champions ain't going to happen. So.
So here's one thing that I want to add to. Okay, let's say Drew McIntyre, an obstacle gets in the way for Drew McIntyre to get his chances to go back for the WWE Championship. A lot of people are saying that they're hoping to see Bobby Lashley, Brock Lesnar in the picture. Could that be acceptable now?
Then Brock... I think it can be because Brock's been out for so long, but for Brock to come back and win a title, no. You know, okay. I mean, it makes, for me, I would just hit the off button on WWE if that happens. Because, you know what, you have a guy that's been gone for so long, comes back, hey, just give him a title. No, I don't think that's what happened. It happened like that in the past.
When you talk about just the title itself, could that match happen? Would you accept that match, Lesnar versus Lashley?
I can accept it, yes, but I just can't see Lesnar on his own as a face that's going to make him more vulnerable to the almighty Bobby Lashley. If we had the Brock that was under Paul Heyman's tutelage, then we're talking about something different. But
yeah, but who says it has to be a face against the heel? Why not have it a heel as a heel? You could have Paul Heyman come back on Raw with Lashley. With Brock, and then he could still handle his business on Friday nights with Reigns.
I think that's just too much double. That's just too much overload for Paul Heyman.
Nah, that, you know what, man? You're right. And I think if Lesnar was to come back, it'll be with Paul Heyman. And then we're going to see maybe another Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar, excuse me. But, hey, you know what? More to follow on this. More developments as we get closer to WrestleMania. You're listening to the HHW Show podcast presented by Clovercrest Media. Go to visit clovercrestmedia.com. Also, you can look at our site right here. And again, I'm just bouncing around here real quick. Yes, here we go. You can look at our live shoot right here in the bottom right-hand corner. It is the live show, of course. You could go visit www.hhwshow.com for the latest news, rumors, predictions, and everything you can find in the WWE with our website. So visit hhwshow.com. Guys, it was awesome to chat. Good content. I love it. There's just so much that's going on. And this is the part. This is what we love the most. The drama, the action, everything leading geared to the road to WrestleMania. And, man, this is great, man. But, hey, the first title match we'll see is on NXT. So we'll see if Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez could be able to take that win and keep those belts in NXT. Until next week for another episode of HHW Show, thank you for watching. Take care, everyone, and please be safe.